just wave to somebody and say, the battle is the Lord. Could you turn this one light down up here to the right up here? Thank you. Amen. Praise God. I'm so excited to be in the house of God today, and I have a word for you. Turn to somebody and say, I need a word from God. You may be seated. I have a word from God this morning. Amen. Yes, these two lights here, could you just turn those down? Amen. I have a word from the Lord. You know, I'm not interested in just preaching little sermonettes. I want to hear from God. How about you? And we're going to continue our message on the bridegroom coming. And I want to talk specifically about the voice of the bridegroom this morning. You know, if you look at the parable, and we're not going to look at it again today, Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, we find out that it's at midnight is when the bridegroom comes. How many believe that midnight's the darkest part of the day? How many believe we're living in some times that really we need some light? Amen. We need some love and we need God. So I want to read this scripture to you in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, what you say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. God bless the reading of the word. Michael, could you go back and help them, see if they can just adjust this light on the right? Thank you. I love this scripture. It says that in the place that everyone's saying is going to be desolate, God says, not so. That's not going to happen. Because in the place that you say is desolate, there's going to be some voices. Everybody say voices. First of all, there's going to be the voice of joy. You know, there's something about desolation. There's something about desolation that seems so final. It seems like desolation tries to take over our world and our nation. But I want you to know, you have a bridegroom that's not going to leave you desolate. Amen. He said, in the place they say, oh, of desolation, then that place, there's going to be the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. How many wake up every morning glad? Amen. Yeah, some of you do. Amen. And then it says, not only that, I'm going to give you my voice, the voice of the bridegroom. I'm going to have a clear voice to you. I'm going to have a clear communication with you. Don't you hate it when you're on a cell phone and you're calling somebody and they're breaking up and you got something important? You want to say, man, what do you need to get outside? You need to get your phone in the air. Something about communication, God loves to communicate. And then he says, the voice of the bride. Ah, so it's not only the voice of the bridegroom. What are we saying? What are we communicating? Well, the book of Revelation says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. How many believe that Jesus, just like Andre Crouch saying, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Come on. I mean, he's still the answer for the world today. His voice is still the voice to bring the answer. Amen. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. You know, during times, hard times, so important that we keep saying, the Lord is good. Amen. He's not stopped being good. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, God understands the pressures you go through. God understands the conflicts that we are facing. That does not take away His goodness to His bride. You know, when Debbie and I are going through issues within, without, when we are going through things with family, friend, whatever, the greatest thing I have found out is when everybody's put to bed, all the problems, and we sit there and turn on some praise and we voice our love to each other. And I've said this to her ever since I've been in the ministry. At the end of the day, it's you and me. It's not me and the church. It's not me and everybody. It's you and me at the end of the day. And we communicate with our voice, our love to each other, even though there might be tears because of problems or disappointments or hurts, we come together and we use our voice. And that's what the bridegroom wants to do. During these hard times, he wants to bring his bride together and speak peaceably unto her and say, I still love you just the way you are. You don't have to act. You don't have to put on a mask. I love you just the way you are. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to capture. During times of desolation, darkness, all types of stuff, he says there's still going to be the voice of the bridegroom talking to his bride. Give him a shout, somebody. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Wow. In other words, there's a lot of things being said. Our job as the bride is to tune our ears to what the Word says. The Word has final say. You know, I love this verse, Psalm 29. I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I want to go there. But it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. Interesting, because at the Mount of Transfiguration, they said his voice thundered. At Mount Sinai, with the children of Israel, they told Moses, God's voice thundered. I began to think about that. You can't have thunder without lightning. So God's voice is so powerful. We hear the thunder, but the lightning of his voice is when God speaks, there is an energy. Lightning is 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, hotter than the sun. So when God's voice thunders, it's because when he spoke, there was an unlimited amount of power and energy with it. Now God, who said, let there be, when that was released, it wasn't some nice little word. It wasn't a Beatles song. What it was like lightning that had the ability to create. So what God is saying, in this time of hardness, and where's the church? No one's going back to church. God says, even though people are saying it's desolate, the bridegroom's speaking. The bridegroom's talking to us. The bridegroom is saying, have not you read my word? That in the last days many would leave the bed. Have not you read that midnight is before the dawn? Have you not read the day is far spent? Have you not read that I'm preparing to come and take my people? Comfort ye Jerusalem with these words. Speak peaceably unto her. You see, the voice of the bridegroom is causing us to throw everything else away except our preparation for God to meet him. Things that have taken our time, things that have stolen from us, precious moments with Christ alone. God's saying, come on, bride. I'm going to comfort you when everyone says it's going to get worse. And when everyone says it'll never be the same, and everyone else will say desolation, desolation, God says, hey, I have a relationship with you. You're going to have joy when no one else. You're not going to be able to understand that joy because things could pull you down and just wipe you out. But I'm going to give you a supernatural joy. Moses said this, okay, God, I've got 2.5 million people that aren't that happy. What's going to distinguish us from all the rest of the people of the earth? God said, Moses, my presence is going to go with you. If we ever need the presence of God, if we ever need the glory of God, if we ever need the word of the Lord, if we ever need the rhema that's full of life, when God thunders, it's because he's already spoken unlimited power to your life. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter if people like you. You're not running a popularity contest. All that matters to me is the bridegroom saying, son, I'm coming soon. I'm coming to get you because I want to be with you. And I don't want you to be something you're not. Be who I created you to be. Do what I called you to do. And on that day, there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. When they say desolation, God says, not for my bride. She's going in rejoicing. She's going in skipping like a lamb. She's going full of love and peace in the midst of darkness and chaos. Give him a praise if you're one of those. The voice of God. Psalm 16:13. The Lord thundered in the heavens. He gave his voice with stones and coals of fire. We're living in a time when demons hate the word of God. Satan wants to silence the church. Like we're just some other type of thing. And there's something outside the church that can deal with hell better. Not so. Not so. Not so. Well, we need the church and this. I understand about programs, all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the only institution that can deal with hell is the church. There is none other, and we are being bombarded by demons of hell in our world and in our nation. Demons that have come because of hatred, prejudice, because of sin. These demons have been unleashed on our earth. This word has power, has unlimited power to change things. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. You have exalted your name or your word above your name. You see, going to church just isn't coming. We are dealing with the gates of hell, Pastor. If ever in my existence I have felt the gates of hell are trying to open up, Brother Mike. They're trying to open up and flood the church out of its place. That we're not relevant. That we really don't make a difference. Something else does. Let me tell you, it's a lie from hell. And even though Satan and demons, you're shaking the gates of hell right now and you're trying to get in, you're not going to get in. You see, my God has never failed. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, my God has never failed. He's never failed, never lost. Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning falling out of heaven. Why was it lightning? Because God said, get out, and that lightning came and took him out. It's the voice of the bridegroom calling to you over and over. And sometimes, whether we want to admit it, we're like Jonah. God's spoken to us once, twice, three times. We ain't got it yet. And Sometimes we reap in things that if we had listened to God, we wouldn't be reaping. But aren't you glad the bridegroom doesn't give up on us? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Jonah, now go. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go. Those 3 nights wasn't the luxury hotel I was in. In fact, those 3 nights, you know, if you read the context of that scripture, Jonah thought he was in hell. Out of Sheol, I called to you. I want to hear his voice and do his voice and finish his work. You know what my prayer has been lately? God, let me finish your work, take my family, and I want to go home. Oh, that's all I want. I want to finish the work you've assigned to me. Take my family, and I want to go home because this is not my home. God's not going to cause the earth to go through a bath. He's going to burn it with fire. Read your Bible. So we can do all we can do to help everybody, but the reality is he's coming for a bride that's ready. A bride that has her things packed. A bride who has kept her spiritual virginity. A bride that's not whoring with the world system. A bride that has lived a consecrated life, a life of sacrifice, a life of self-denial, a life of repentance when she was wrong, a life that pleased her groom. So he says, even though things could be desolate, and they are desolate for many people, but God is able out of the desolation to bring joy back, to bring peace back. This is a rhema word from God. God gave me at 3 a.m. to tell you he's in love with you. You're the apple of his eye. He wants you just the way you are. Sure, we all have to work on things. I'm talking about he wants your heart. He wants you like that child. Come before him. Father God. Father, I can't understand everything that's going on, but I'm not you. But I do know this, if you'll just keep your hand on me. How long, how often do we pray that? The hand of the Lord was upon David. The hand of the Lord was upon Samson. The hand of the Lord was on Gideon and he blew a trumpet. We should be praying, Lord, let your hand be on your church. Sure, we're imperfect. Sure, we should have done this and that, but Lord, don't let your hand not be upon us at this crucial time. We're in crucial waters. But every time something comes up, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Report for duty. Be a good soldier. Amen. Get on that armor. Be listening every morning for his voice. And the Holy Spirit convicts you, be quickly to repent and change so the devil can't find a snare in our life. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. There's thunder because great power was released. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, fight the good warfare by the prophecies that went on before you. You see, those prophecies, if it was a real word from the Lord and not somebody out in the parking lot trying to be a prophet, when it was a real word, then that word still has the power in it. That word is still alive in your life. And when you recall that word and speak that word, it gives the power in that word is released. The power to do what he said in that word and to be, which is supposed to be, is all still in there. No matter if it's been 17 years like Joseph, or 13 years like David, or 14 years like Paul in Arabia, the power, if it was a true prophetic word, there's an energy in that word to bring you to maturity. So don't get discouraged. Stir up the gift. Stir up the power. Stir up the anointing. One last scripture. 1 Kings chapter 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. People say, where is God today? Where was God? Was he in the virus? No. Was God in when an innocent man died? No. Was God in looting and all that? No. Where's his voice? You see, the voice of God speaks to us in peace. The reason God does that is because, see, he tried that with Moses in the Ten Commandments. It didn't work. It didn't work commanding people to obey him. So his relationship, and as we begin to close, his relationship with the bride is this. During the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, I'm not going to scream through an earthquake. I'm not going to scream through a storm. But when you get alone with me and develop that relationship with me, which is the essence of Christianity, it's before my service. Because that relationship goes to the marriage table, it goes to eternity. So God says, if you want to hear me, and some people, I don't know what's God saying. Well, he's not going to shout through the fire. He's not going to shout through the earthquake. See, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear. See, if ever the body of Christ needs to get to that garden alone with God, it's now. Because church can't meet all of our needs. Then we'd be intimate with the church more than Christ. The church has a part. That's still small voice. Is it always easy, Pastor, to hear that small voice in an earthquake? No. Sometimes you got to wait for the earthquake to go, then the voice. Then you hear it. Sometimes you got to get in your car and put your favorite praise on or worship and just drive for 2 hours and just let everything settle. Who am I talking to? For that voice, sometimes you got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and put on Reflections and Daystar and just sit there in the presence of God and say, oh Lord, like Ezekiel, thou knowest, oh Lord, I see death everywhere. Thou knowest, can these bones live? Can we have a reformation? Can we have a move of God? Can we see our young people? Oh Lord, thou knowest. And you said it would happen. So show me my part. Show me what my part is. Speak to me. That's where the bride and the bridegroom develop a relationship. That's where, even though it looks desolate, even personally in your life or your family, he says, yet I'm going to bring joy and gladness. And you'll see how good God is to turn it around. I love Tremaine Hawkins. I had a cassette tape. How many know Tremaine Hawkins? Anybody listen? I had a tape called she had a song called The Waymaker. I don't even know if you can even find it. You don't have any cassettes, but you can find it somewhere, that song. I remember years ago, I had a bad seizure. Tongue was bleeding. I had bruised myself. in pain. And I got up in the middle of the night and I found that tape. And I put that song on. Maybe you can find that song real quick. We'll play it at the end. I put that on, went in the kitchen and sang it. And then the next time I played through, I danced to it. Then the next time, I danced to it. 2 hours later, I'm dancing to it. He's the way maker. God, you're going to make a way for my life. You're going to make a way for me to be normal. You're going to make a way for me to preach the gospel. And I want to tell you, He made a way, and He's going to make a way for you. He's going to make a way for our nation. He's going to make a way for the church to be all that we're called to be and to do. I believe fire is going to end. The earthquake's going to end. Oh, yeah. Storm's going to end. And God's going to say to His son, "Son, go get your bride." The Bible says, "Then shall the redeemed of the Lord return." And they're going to come with singing. An everlasting joy. Don't be discouraged. Don't let desolation. Don't let others define you. God defines you. He said, "You're engraven in the palms of my hand. I sing over you." Zechariah says, "With singing, with rejoicing." God's going to make a way. For you, for our nation. That's the hope of the gospel. The commission of the church is to bring all races together because it's of the blood of Christ. I've been to many countries, many races. I've preached to many different people, some with interpreters, some not. This word works. The blood cleanses every race. Cleanses every nation. Because there's power in the blood. The voice of the bridegroom. Oh, it's not a weak voice. It might seem small, but that doesn't mean it's not full of 50,000 degrees of His eternal power. Why do you think it says no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Because God, your bridegroom, says, "Are you kidding me? Have you forgotten how committed I am to my bride? Have you forgotten how much I love my bride? You think I'm going to just sit here and let that happen?" Now, that weapon might be formed, but it ain't ever going to go to be manufactured. It ain't going to happen. You might feel the form, or you might feel the words. But guess what? God's watching over you. Today, I want you to go home, think about this word. If you have Facebook, I want you to share this word. If you want a copy of it, get the CD. Let's get the word out. Let's get the word out that Jesus is coming. Let's get the word out the church is not going home defeated. We're not just something else on this earth. God's looking to us and only to the church. He's raised up government authority. He's raised up this. He's raised up that. But the church is to have His heart. But not only His heart, His power. "Behold, I give you power over all serpents, all demons." Demons that are over Petersburg. Demons that are all around. Guess what? We have the power and authority over it. We refuse to back down. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give it. As such as I have, I'm going to give it. By example or by word. By deed, but always in truth with love. I might not be a millionaire, but I have a treasure in this earthen vessel It's worth everything to me. Father, I bless your people now. May the voice of the bridegroom be clear to them. May they impart this truth to others, that his voice means everything. The voice of my beloved, as he's skipping upon the mountains, he's climbing over the hills to get to me, the one he died for. Lord, I pray everyone would feel special today because they are special. Lord, I pray that we would be who we are. You don't love us because we put on something we're not. Let's just be who we are. That's who you love. Purity. Purity of mind, body, and spirit. We honor your voice. We cherish your voice. Let the voice of the beloved shout through this earth of his great love, for with he has loved us. And Lord, bless your people this week. Lord, cause some of them to be blessed with letters and things and someone encouraging them to run the race, fight the fight, and complete that which you've given us as good stewards of the grace of God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Lord, I